Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
We missed you last week.
Well, I missed being here too. It's always better to visit face-to-face with you, so glad to be back.
Yeah, we can stand, both of us can kind of stand the ugly.
Well, thank you.
I meant that as a compliment, I think.
I'm not sure.
Okay. But now, seriously, your program is so popular. Do you have any thank yous this week?
You know, I forgot to check my computer this morning, but yes, there's been a few people that have made more suggestions, and I like to name them by name, but I don't have those today, but okay. I will try to do that next week.
I have been watching a little TV series called The Old West Chronicles. Have you heard about that?
I have not.
It's interesting, and they featured last week, I think it was on Monday night, that sheriff that you talked about in Texas.
Bass Reeves?
Bass Reeves.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I just thought I'd mention that.
Okay, great.
And what do you got cooking for today?
Well, we've got a kind of a mystery kind of thing here. It's called the Lost Golden Lake.
Golden Lake?
Yeah, you'll see what I mean here. Okay.
Oh.
So, 1892, Zeb.
How do you lose a lake?
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So, it's 1892. Now, to preface this, this was an interview that was done in 1919 by the guy that this all happened to. So, this is coming directly from an interview from the man that it happened with. And his name is Teeples, T-E-E-P-L-E-S.
Teeples.
So picture this. It's 1892. A blizzard blasted down over the mountains, carrying sleet and snow and blocking out the high elevation of southern Colorado's Culebra Range. Does that sound familiar?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Anyway, his name is Ashton Teeples, and he declared afterwards the storm was so bad he could not even see his hands in front of him.
Wow.
Well, when the visibility became non-existent, he held on to one of his burro's tails. Now, the storm began suddenly in the morning and ended just as quickly. Now, Teeples discovered himself in a mountain pocket resembling a valley. It probably contained 300 acres. Out in the middle of the pocket was a lake of 5 or 6 acres, so not very big, okay? Now, Teeples established his camp. As the sun sank low in the west, it sent some shafts of light into the mountain pocket. Suddenly, he paused in his work and stared out at the smooth surface of this lake. It was just smooth as glass, and it shone like it was golden, all right? Teeples was boiling coffee and roasting some venison on some hot coals, and when the golden view of the lake kind of returned to his mind, all right?
Uh-huh.
So, Teeples took a California-type gold pan, went to the edge of the lake. He scooped it half full of the sand and the mud. In the pan, he found a half a dozen nuggets of gold.
The man was
one
rich.
One pan.
Woo.
Now, even though darkness had fallen, he returned to the lake and got a full pan of the general bottom material, this gravel. This time, he recovered what he estimated to be $300 or $400 in gold. One pan.
Wow.
Well, after breakfast the next morning, he returned to the lake and started panning. The number of nuggets picked out of each pan just amazed him. Every pan. Now, for the following 3 days he worked, every pan produced the same unbelievable amount of nuggets. He had arrived there with only a little coffee and some venison, and as much as he hated to go out, Teeples knew that he had to leave or he was going to starve. Well, most of the burro's load was gold, which he later sold for $225,000.
Excuse me?
So today's ebb, what, about 2 million?
Oh, easy.
At least two or more.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Teeples had no trouble reaching a place called Whiskey Creek Pass. He entered the foothills and the village of Charma, C-H-A-M-A, Kama, Shama, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he arrived there without having eaten for 2 days. Now, in Shama, he said nothing whatever about his fabulous windfall.
That was smart.
Yeah. Teeples was a stringy man, thin, bearded of face, tobacco chewing, wore blue jeans, hickory shirts, and judging from his appearance, he possessed nothing whatever. Yet, he did not get 5 miles east of Shama before 8 outlaws confronted him already.
And they didn't even know he had the money.
No. Well, Teeples opened fire to protect himself. His fast shooting emptied the gun, but also halted the riders. One of them pitched out of the saddle, flopping dead on the ground. He grabbed his Winchester rifle. They came in a second charge. Teeples killed a second man. After a brief delay, they started closing in on foot. And to Teeples, it seemed like this was the end. And he heard a voice that said, "Surrender what you have on them burros. We'll take them and leave you alone. How do you want it?" Well, Teeples replied, "I have no gold." Well, to his surprise, the same man replied, "Don't give us that pack of lies. We know you got them burros loaded with gold. We'll take that and go, or we'll kill you to get it." Now, how they knew,
did he go to an assayer's office
No. He doesn't know how they even thought he had gold. So he reloaded his .45. Teeples waited until they gained within 25 feet and then triggered his 6-gun as fast as the single-action hammer could be pulled back. One of the other robbers toppled over dead. So now there's 3 dead guys.
And there were a total of 8.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the survivors turned and Teeples watched them go. I guess they figured that was enough. Now, Teeples was cautious. He collected the burros. He moved back down the trail. Traveling all night as fast as he could walk, he pushed the overload burrows ahead. A few miles west of the village of Boncarbo, several rifle bullets whined at him. Teeples went down into the short grass, pierced through the left shoulder, and wounded twice in the thigh.
Holy cow!
Moving his 6-gun out from one side of the boulder, Teeples held it steady with both hands while the bushwhackers rushed in. And now this was an entirely different bunch. This was not the same guys.
You know, he would get the feeling that he wasn't very well liked.
He could. Well, Teeples, and he says he was always puzzled about how anyone could possibly have any idea that he had a great deal of gold packed in these burrows. In any event, now obviously he's been shot 3 times now, Zeb.
Yeah.
Racked with pain and hearing the bushwhackers charging, he waited until he was able to distinguish them through blurry eyes before opening fire. They were almost over him when he opened up with his 6-gun. By thumbing, he expanded the 5-loader cylinders before being hit 3 times and losing consciousness.
He got hit 3 times more?
Yeah. For a long spell thereafterward, he knew nothing of the succeeding events. Okay?
Holy, he shot 6 times?
Yeah. When Teeples regained his senses, he looked up and here's a gnarled, brown-faced sheepherder placing a tin cup of coffee to his mouth. The herder tried talking to Teeples in Spanish until he realized that the wounded man did not understand the language. So then he said, "Here, amigo, the bandidos are gone, except for these and 2 horses lying out there in the flat that you killed."
Holy okay. moly.
Teeples took a deep swallow of the coffee before saying, "My burros? Like, where's my burros?"
Yeah.
Well, the sheepherder said, "It is safe. We unpacked the burros. They are grazing, being very hungry and tired. Your wounds have been bandaged. We heard the shooting and found you. You must be taken to a medico as soon as possible. We will get you to Trinidad."
Okay, I know where that is.
Okay. So with herb remedies and what little they knew of doctoring range wounds, the Mexican sheepherders had accomplished a miracle. It was of great comfort that honest men had found him and that his fortune in gold remained intact.
They didn't get the gold.
No. So the Mexicans repacked his big burros. Teeples did not believe they went very far eastward before reaching the main sheep camp. They put him to bed in a bunk. more dead than alive. I mean, you can imagine.
Six times he was shot.
Yeah. So the amazing thing about Teeple's adventure is that he passed through several hands before reaching Trinidad on the railroad. Any one of these people could have taken his fortune gold and got away with it.
Wow.
Now, in Trinidad, Teeples created a bit of a storm because he mumbled words about a lake that the bottom of which was paved with gold nuggets, which it was, obviously, with you know all the panning he did and all the gold he got. Now, the county sheriff wanted to know where the bushwhackers had been killed. It was this honest sheriff who took possession of Teeple's gold, and in a week or 10 days, he dispatched it to Denver.
Okay. So the sheriff took the gold
and sent it
to Denver. Why did he send it to Denver?
To get it sold or assayed, because later I'll tell you that he actually got some checks from Denver for the gold. He actually got the money.
Wow.
So, but the sheriff got some information from Teeples as to where the two fights had occurred. And so he went out looking and he found where the bodies had been, where the horses had been shot, things like that. But he basically came up with nothing. He was not able to find anything about the two separate bands of outlaws. Now, the Trinidad doctor told Teeples that he needed to go to a place called St. Vincent's Hospital in Santa Fe. Meanwhile, as I said, Teeples' check for the gold had arrived and was deposited half in a bank and half with an express company for forwarding it to Teeples' parents in Topeka, Kansas.
So he had the funds.
Yeah, so $225,000.
He could afford to go someplace.
He could. Well, he told the sheriff and the doctor that he would never return to the Golden Lake in the Culebras Mountains. But because of the favors they had done him, Teeples gave them the best instruction he could remember on how to get into this mountain pocket.
Now, he told the sheriff this.
Yeah, and the doctor. Yeah, because they had taken care of him, and they were honest people, you know. But and they outfitted, and they went in with friends into these mountains, and they looked, and they looked, and they could never find this lake, okay? And again, Teeples found it in a snowstorm. So it was he really didn't have the
directions
to really find it again, even though he left. So anyway, as we went on, the doctor wanted to amputate his leg.
Oh, my.
But the crude first aid given him by the sheep herders had saved the leg as well as his life. Now, remember, Zeb, back then, infection would get in wounds and usually kill the person.
Yeah.
But whatever they did, whatever herbs or whatever they used, saved his life.
What was the most serious gunshot wound?
I'm assuming it was to his legs because they wanted to cut off his leg. So anyway, Teeples recovered after a while, and he actually married a widow with five children, and the couple also had two children of their own. And Teeples and his oldest stepson, a guy named Harold, decided to return to Colorado and see what they could find.
Okay.
And anyway, for six long weeks, Teeples tried to trace his way to this mountain pocket. They found several locations resembling it, but they were all filled with water from melting snow, but none contained the lake with the golden bottom. And finally, they were forced to give it up. Teeples stated in later years that he believed the lake had vanished. It could have happened because of an earthquake. To this day, the Golden Lake in the Culebra Range of southern Colorado, a land of mystic lost mines and fortune, has never
Hate to sound, I'm not trying to be funny, but could it have dried up?
That's sure. I mean, you think about, you know, this was years later. You know, I don't know how many years later, but by then, yeah, it could have dried up. You could have had an earthquake that filled it in. It could have gotten bigger to where, you know, it was just covered with more
so
water.
So Pete Teeples and his oldest son, they went back after he recovered and tried to find the lake. What year was that?
It was 1819 when he, 1892 when he found the lake.
I see.
And so I'm assuming it had to be, you know, 20 years later that he went back in.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you a picture of him, Zeb. This is what he looked like.
Oh, he looks like the Swans Man.
Well, I don't know if the Swans Man would appreciate that.
Well, that's Mr. Teeples.
Yes. But anyway, it was quite an amazing story about this guy. And talk about a tough guy. Now, number one, to go into the mountains alone with burros hunting for gold.
Wow.
Now, how many of those guys never showed up again? They don't know whatever happened to them. Kind of like some of the mountain men, the trappers.
Yeah.
You know, some of those guys never were heard of again.
You know, Ken, Dr. History, it always amazes me, and maybe you've thought about this, if people found something like Brigham Young or Daniel Boone or this Mr. Teeples or whatever, how did they ever remember how to get back there?
Exactly. And that has been, well, like the superstition, the Lost Dutchman. You know, I mean, he left detailed instructions on how to get back to the Lost Dutchman, and nobody that we know of has ever found it.
Mm.
So, but it's amazing that this guy, you know, and actually at the time he was going in there, he was 45 years old. And like I say, he got into this storm, fierce, fierce storm. He couldn't even see where he was going. You know, all he could do is hang on to the tail of his burro. And somehow the burro got down into this kind of little valley thing, and they were able to get into some shelter. But he'd been prospecting in the high country and had had no luck. He wanted to, you know, obviously like all of me, wanted to find something that he could bring back. But when this storm hit, it was unexpected for that time of the year in Colorado. And anyway, he could have just as easily froze to death in that storm.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, what did the man do with all the money?
You know what? That's a. I've got a little time here. I didn't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me see.
Did he open up a business or what?
He did. Let me see if I can find it. Hang on, Zeb.
I am. The dead air is brought to you by.
Let's see. Here we go. He was anxious to invest his money in a great farm, but aggravating delays ensued. It became necessary to go to a hospital in Kansas City for further surgery. And for the next 2 years, he did slowly recover despite one complication after another. In the meantime, like say, he bought some property in Kansas, and that's when he married the widow that had the five children. And 5 years after his return to Kansas, a former deputy named Thomas Santos visited him. Now, this Santos guy was in poor financial circumstances, and he kind of talked Teeples into furnishing him more information. This was the good sheriff that had helped him before.
Oh.
And he was kind of had fallen on hard times. And he wanted to get more information, see if he could still go out and find that lake. And he'd been out there three times trying to find the lake, but he needed the help of Teeples. So that's when Teeples and his oldest son, Harold, decided to return to Colorado. And they went with this guy named Santos.
I see.
The sheriff.
But when he got to the point where he couldn't go anywhere anymore, I mean, did he live to a ripe old age or not?
I don't know how old he lived to be.
But he resided in Kansas, right?
Right, right.
I see.
So, but he was interviewed in 1919, so so he had to be, you know, up around the
60, 65, 68, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But Teeples and his son went with this Sheriff Santos, and they were just going to share equal shares of the money and the expenses. Santos told him that an aged prospector had been found in a dehydrated, dying condition 2 years before on a road. In his packs had been about 20 pounds of coarse gold.
Wow.
The dying man claimed to have recovered this from the legendary Golden Lake.
Oh.
So supposedly, later, another man found this Golden Lake.
You know, we've got a caller with a quick question. It's got to be quick. I've only got a minute left. Caller, go ahead, quickly.
It will be. I just want the gentleman's full name, Mr. Teeples, full name, so I can research it a little myself.
He's checking on it.
Ashton B. Teeples.
Ashton B. Teeples.
Yep.
There you go. Thank you, caller. Appreciate it. Ashton B. Teeples.
Uh-huh. That's the guy.
You know, this is kind of an interesting story because of all the stories you've had about finding gold or prospectors that had it, lost it, like up in the Yukon, etc. This guy actually found his wealth, kept his wealth, and
did okay.
Thrived on his wealth.
And to the listener, I will just tell you this. This came from an old Frontier Times magazine. I've got a whole stack of these, and this was like 1972.
Wow.
Frontier Times magazine is where I got this. And it came from an actual interview. So I think it's pretty reliable,
the story. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. That was an interesting story because that's one of the very few of people trying to go in search of gold that found it, kept it, and prospered off of
yeah.
it. Yeah,
prospered.
Even though he got shot six times.
Yeah.
Holy, that's an amazing story, really. I mean, shot six times and survived.
Yeah, and held off two gangs
yeah.
of men.
He must have been a pretty doggone good shot.
He must have been. I mean, after you kill a few guys, I think they were thinking, well,
they got the message.
<laughs> <laughs>
Okay, what are we going to talk about next week?
That's a great question. I don't want to give anything
you
away.
You don't want to spoil it.
I don't.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I really like those kind of stories. You know, I had a listener call and say, can Dr. History do more about maybe some of the personalities and some of the happenings right here
in this area?
Yeah,
you know, we did one on Diamond Phil Jack a while back, and that book by Max Black is the best book about
that's
Diamond
the gentleman
Jack.
That did the seminar right
the last Saturday
Society.
A week ago Saturday.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to go to that, but that's probably the best book around about
really
that. Yeah,
why does his book qualify as the best? What did he do or research differently? I've got 1 minute left.
The thing I like the most is he went to the actual site where the killings took place
up there.
Uh-huh.
I see.
And he found, as I recall now, it's been a while since I read it, he actually found the shell casings of the bullets
up there on the on Deadline Ridge.
Yeah, and I could be wrong, but it seemed like he actually dug out the shell, the actual bullet out of a log or something where it got... The book is excellent. It's the most accurate story of this Diamond Phil Jack who later found mines worth millions, ended up getting hit by a taxi cab in Las Vegas and had no money at all.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. History, so good to have you back. Thank you. Enjoyed it. Every Tuesday, 10:06, Dr. History. Thank you very much.